Welcome to episode number 61 of the Savvy Girls podcast. In our last episode, we talked to you about day one of the New York State Sheep and Wool Festival. And in this episode, we bring you day two of the New York State Sheep and Wool Festival in Rhinebeck, New York. It was a busy day. We interviewed some fairly well-known people in the knitting world. The whole weekend is a bit of a excited blur of yarn and
cotton candy. And happiness.
And sugar. And more sugar and yarn. So, I invite you to put your feet up.
Already done.
Pull out your knitting.
And start knitting the way through the stash you bought at Rhinebeck.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And enjoy this episode.
Enjoy the show. And I say, wait, hey, it's just an ordinary day. And it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right. It's morning.
It is morning, and we've been up for a while, and I am energetic and excited. I started the day, other than, you know, the getting...
just kidding. I'm just joking.
Other than the getting ready, you know, in general, I began the day, I looked up the few patterns. Well, I looked up the Romy Hill ebook, the first ebook, what is it, 7 small shawls, and figured out for the 3 shawls how much yardage I need. And today, my purchasing goals is to, well, buy yarn for those 3 shawls, or at least for 2 out of the 3. And what else has been going on this morning? We tried to log on to the internet, and the internet was down at the hotel. I'm sure you all needed to know that.
We're a little bit disappointed with the hotel.
Yeah, we're staying at the Holiday Inn in Kingston. The rooms are fine. It's a little bit of a rundown hotel. There was a bathing suit issue, and now there are...
The breakfast isn't free. It is at some Holiday Inns. The breakfast doesn't look like it's worth paying for.
Yeah.
There was Elvis music at night.
There was?
Oh, when we came home last night, yeah, there was Elvis music.
Which actually could be... cool.
It could. It was just...
if it weren't in...
but I guess the Holiday Inn where the Gerbil show was also... I guess if it's an unrenovated, older Holiday Inn, this is what you get.
I guess so. And the thing is, they're not charging... I don't think that the prices that they're charging are...
reflect the service and place that it is.
I agree. However... It's a place to stay, and it's nice and close to the fairgrounds. And we are headed to the fairgrounds. We thought that it started at 9 o'clock today, but some people reminded us that it actually started at 10, which is fine, because we actually now have just moved a little bit slower. So it's 9 o'clock now. We're headed into Rhinebeck. We're going to probably park our car and then, well, maybe go for breakfast at the little diner within walking distance from the fairgrounds.
Or just lie on the grass and have a much-needed nap.
Yeah, we could just recline the seats of the car and have a much-needed nap, frankly.
That's another good point.
It would be warmer.
So I wonder who we're going to see today. Who knows, right? Yesterday we knew a bunch of people who would be there, and we had all these plans.
Yeah,
and we fulfilled them, and you bought a ton of wool, and I bought it. Well, you bought me. There was a little wool bought on my behalf.
Well, how many skeins of wool?
For me?
Yes, 3.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5? There was the 2 socks that rocked.
Oh, I forgot
about
those.
There was the big alpaca thing. There were the 2 little things. I think that they were made out of wool.
They are. They're made out of sheep's wool.
And
I think this is the way to turn, isn't it?
And they were purple.
This is probably the way to turn, right? Is this the way to turn?
Yeah, I don't know, sure.
I think it might be, because that's the farm stall.
I think we went past the farm stall. This is not the way to turn.
You're sure?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll turn around. Are you sure?
Yes.
Because it's at Dutchess County this way.
So? We're in Dutchess County. It's a county.
Yeah, that's true. I don't really understand these things, as in finding my way around. Because other people are going this way.
Other people are going to places that aren't Rhinebeck. And this might be another way to Rhinebeck, but we went past the farm stand because the U-Pick sign is right after the farm stand.
Okay. I have a great sense of direction. And by that I mean I have a terrible sense of direction.
Where are we?
We're watching sheep ditches.
Sterling Graham. It's
so immeasurable. Oh, that sheep trying to get away.
Whoa!
You see that sheep trying to jump up? That's a big sheep. A sheep could try to jump up on some kid. It wouldn't be as funny if it were a pit bull, but it's funny because it was a sheep. Deborah's gone to take pictures, and let's see. We were at the Sanguine Griffin booth, whatever that is, and there were a million knitters, I think, and really pushy knitters, and it wasn't pleasant at all. And their yarn looked nice. I'm sure it's beautiful, but watching the sheep misbehave is a lot more fun than watching knitters misbehave.
We are at the Leaping Llama competition. Apparently, llamas and alpacas are going to be jumping.
I hope they are.
For the camelid community, I'd like to welcome the 4-H Spitters Club from Dutchess County.
They've just introduced the 4-H Spitters Club.
I wonder how you can join.
We are a 4-H club ranging ages of 5 years old to 17 years old with 16 members strong. Our club has both alpacas and llamas. We participate in many community services, activities, fairs, parades, and local competitions. We love to educate the public about our animals while having fun.
Visit the Spitters Club on
Facebook. Children or alpacas?
Oh, it
looks like kids playing
with the
alpacas. Welcome to the Spitters Club.
Awesome job, guys.
That's pretty cute.
Melanie
and Deborah,
and we are here with two knitters. What's your names, or Ravelry names, or whatever?
Cynthia.
On Ravelry, you're Cynthia?
On Ravelry, I'm CJS7905. Not a great name, but...
But hey. It's yours.
But it's mine.
How about you? Are you on Ravelry?
No.
Well, what's your name?
Paul.
Paul. And you guys are from Chicago.
That's right. We came in for the weekend.
And obviously you came... I don't know if this is this year or another year. You've got the sweatshirt.
No, this is from a few years ago.
Very cool. And do you have a question for Savvy Dad?
I do. Savvy Dad, I know the answer to this is yes. Did you send the girls here to get a big stash for you that you are going to label your Rhinebeck stash?
I think the answer is probably no. But it might be yes.
So what have you got for yourself? Have you bought anything?
I have bought needles. I bought yarn for about 3 shawls.
One is one of them for your son?
No. And I got... music CD.
Really? Of what kind of music?
Nice. The Peruvian music, the guys that are playing down the hill.
They're a lot better than usual.
Yeah.
I mean, usually it's a Beatles CD and a pan flute, but they're a group.
So what are you working on?
I'm not working on anything recently. I tend to do kumihimo, which is a Japanese braiding.
Oh, neat.
Out of wool or out of...
Any kind of yarn form.
That's really cool. And how did you learn that?
I think I took a class at one of the festivals. Which festival was it, Mom?
It probably was at Michigan.
So you guys go everywhere.
We go all over. Because Detroit, Michigan, everything.
And which is your favorite festival?
Rhinebeck is my favorite.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's good fun.
Yeah.
At noon on Sunday, the people behind Ravelry organized a Ravelry meetup, which was a lovely get-together of the Ravelry team, of Ravelry members, and anyone else who happened by and wanted to join the big grouping of people on the grassy knoll.
Confused spouses.
Yeah, there were quite a few confused spouses. That's very true. While we were there, we spotted Stephen West. We were actually chatting with a listener when he happened to spot his good friend, Stephen West, who is the well-known designer.
Who?
Stephen
Just
West.
Kidding.
Stephen West. And I was pretty excited that we were standing in a group of people that he was interested in coming over to see. So we ended up chatting with him, and I asked him if he would be interested in being interviewed for the podcast. And he happily agreed. But just after I turned the recording machine on, and just before we started the interview, a crazy fan came running up and was so excited to see that Stephen West was there, and pulled out knitting from her bag, which was one of Stephen's designs. And I don't remember which one it was, but I think she might refer to it in while she's talking.
Mm-hmm.
So she was so entertaining, in fact, that I just left the recording machine on to capture everything she said. So here we go with... This is, I think, Stephen West's...
Biggest
fan?
Yes, however...
What do you call that? Mega fan? What do you call it?
Super fan?
Super fan. This is Stephen West's super fan.
No, wait.
It turns out that she is also Yaselda's biggest super fan as well, but you'll hear that.
Wait. So, if you're a listener, we're really sorry.
Oh, yeah, we're really sorry if you happen to be a listener as well. I hope you like us almost as much as you like both Stephen West and Yaselda. And after this, probably you won't. But you were just so entertaining and so enthusiastic that I just couldn't stop recording when I heard your enthusiasm.
Yeah, you're a trouble disturber.
Yeah. No, it's a lookalike.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Stephen West.
I gotta take a picture.
Here.
Oh my god! And I'm in the middle of your spectra. I gotta show you.
Show me.
Really?
It's my first. It's like. It's the first time I've ever. I'm just new to knitting, and it's my. And I bought all your books, and I didn't bring them with me. Why is number three?
We should get a permanent marketing. You can sign your books.
Oh my god! I didn't know I was gonna bring my books with me, and I bought number three.
I'm not enthusiastic enough.
Let me oil knit some stitches.
Not yet.
So this is my first time ever knitting two yarns together. I'm Madeline Todd.
Both of them.
Yes.
Love it.
Can you take a picture of her? Take a picture. Yeah. I'll take one. I'm so excited.
I work in a
group. Did you know? Didn't I say they should invite Stephen West? Okay, hold this part with me, Stephen. Hold this part with me.
Yes.
Okay. I'm ready when you are. Oh, nice.
No.
Okay, now.
Pretty.
It's cream protected. You know, for like 3 days I wasn't working because I couldn't get this together. I refused to work at work.
Good. I refused to.
You should let him knit a couple stitches on it.
For the people that have.
Stephen,
like,
could you knit a few stitches on it? Oh my god.
For the people that have different colors.
What about if you finish knitting the whole thing and just mail it to me?
There you go.
I gotta take a picture of you knitting because this is my boyfriend. I'm hoping we'll break up before I finish. That way I can keep it. Well, I'm actually gonna put it in the prenup so that way if he messes it up.
I don't think there's a. What is this? Okay.
I
don't think there's a scarf curse though. So I
know, it's a sweater curse. Maybe a scarf curse. You're gonna stay together.
Okay, I'm gonna videotape this.
This is a test for me if I remember
how to knit.
Yeah, or how to what this pattern is.
Okay, so did I do okay on it for my first two colors?
Yeah, it's perfect. I'm hoping I don't mess it up.
Okay, I'm gonna take a picture of you doing it. Now.
Okay. Oh, that was a video.
Oh, that was a video.
Oh god.
Yeah, okay, I got it.
There we go.
Oh my god. Every day I've been going on Ravelry to see if my book came already, but then I saw it was not until November.
Yeah, it's a little...
But I'm okay with that.
Okay. I'll give you something else to knit in the meantime.
Okay.
I'll release something else. I'm working on a new cowl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my god.
See, do I go to the last four or three? You need to help me.
You go... This is the first row.
Yeah.
So you are going to wrap and turn.
Wrap on the square?
Yeah. No, wrap now. Yeah, so you wrap now.
Thank you.
Yeah. I bought a whole bunch of books. I'm looking for Isolde.
She's
here now? She's in the room already? Isolde, she's here. Okay, see?
Yes.
I'll finish your scarf.
No problem.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm with Stephen West and a whole bunch of other people, but you've been bombarded by fans.
Yes, it's been very exciting. It's my first Rhinebeck.
And where are you from?
It.
You're from...
I'll give you... Originally from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then Chicago, and now I live in Amsterdam. So a little
bit. Do you
bit.
Really?
Yes.
So you flew out all the way here?
I flew here not just for Rhinebeck, but this is what I'm most excited about, I think. But it took me 22 hours... to get
you
here, so it's dedication to yarn and fiber.
Absolutely. I came here from Colombia, like Bogota, Colombia.
Oh, no way. Yeah. How long did it take you?
It's only a 5-hour flight to New York City. after I got through the FARC. I mean, what? No.
It's supposed to be a 7-hour flight, but then with delays and reroutings and weather and having them announce that the plane ran out of fuel is always...
Hopefully not mid-flight.
Yes, mid-flight. They're like, we're going to need to land in Providence, Rhode Island because we're running out of fuel. That was a nice... As long as I get to Rhinebeck the next morning, that's all I was concerned about.
Well, exactly. So what are you working on? What do you have coming out soon?
I'm finishing just editing the book 3.
Okay.
So all the knitting's done for that.
Okay.
And I'm photographing a new little collection. It's called... I guess I can start talking a bit more about it. It's called West Knits Made for Movement.
Okay.
And so it's going to be like more accessories, but accessories and things that are easy to knit on the go, or because I'm a dancer and choreographer,
right.
So things that I could also move in, or, you know, for people on the go or busy traveling and
right. Okay. Dancing inspired.
Yeah,
things?
And there'll be some leg warmers.
Yay.
Yeah, but not too like dancy, but still wearable every day. Yeah.
Very good. And I didn't know you were a dancer. What kind of dancing do you do?
It's a choreography program.
Okay.
And it's Amsterdam School of the Arts.
Okay.
So it's more contemporary, and I really like improvisation.
Well, wonderful.
Yeah.
Are you performing as well?
Yeah. Mostly, with some other work from other students in the program.
Okay.
And also a lot of guests come, and so I get to meet and work with a lot of different people through this program.
Wonderful.
Which I like.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing one of my first garments. It's a vest with Noro and Kathmandu Aran tweed.
Okay.
And it was a cardigan pattern in Interweave Knits magazine. But I don't think any of the numbers or lengths or features, I completely changed it. So
it's all original-ish.
Yeah. Inspired by a cardigan, but now it's a vest cardigan.
It's very nice, very rustic looking, perfect for a fall day in the country.
Yeah, like today.
And so you've been shopping around. I saw you walking around yesterday as well.
Yeah.
Not that I'm stalking yet.
No.
I just saw you. So what caught your eye? What yarns are...
Well, I've been a fan of Sanguine Griffin for a while, and so I finally got to meet them in person for the first time and like pet their yarns and like browse them. So I got some Sanguine Griffin. What else? I found some really nice Fox Hill. I think Fox Hill Fibers or Fox Hill something with a fox.
Okay. Something
that's some
foxy.
Nice Kormo wool for a sweater. But
For a sweater.
Yeah, enough for a sweater. So I've been attracted to all the rustic woolly wools, and that here this is the place for it.
It's the place, and it's the weather for it too, right?
Exactly.
Good.
I love it.
Wonderful. And in terms of upcoming trends, what do you see happening?
With what I'm doing, I want to do a lot more sweaters and, I don't know, trends. I don't consider myself too trendy. I just like to make
what inspires.
Yeah, but I want to do a lot more vests and sweaters, and there's been like more men's vests and sweaters coming out, but I think there's a lot more room to really have some cool, unique things in that area, so
I agree.
That's where I'm going to focus a little bit more on, and making things and bigger projects, bigger shawls, bigger scarves, bigger projects.
Wonderful. And do you have a story of a time when you ruined something you were knitting?
When I ruined something that I was knitting,
or some kind of knitting disaster story?
One of my first embarrassing knitting disasters was before I cared much about gauge, so I just decided to. I saw a sweater that I liked, and maybe I could make that.
I'm a medium.
Chunky yarn, I'll just cast on, and I'll just keep increasing. And I'm like a 40 and a half, 41-inch chest, and it ended up being about like a 52-inch chest, which is a little bit different.
So you could fit two people in there.
Baggy stuff. Yeah, it's a little, like a snuggie. But yeah, that was a pretty big disaster. But it was also a denial. Like, as I kept going, I'm like, no, it'll be fine. It's big, but I'll just keep going, and when I bind off, maybe I'll make the waist smaller, and that'll hide the fact that it's big. Yeah, just made it worse.
What's your name, sir?
I am David Moran.
And who are you here with, or what's the organization?
The organization is our own. This is a Crimson Shamrock Ranch. We raise alpaca and we raise Wensleydale sheep in the mountains of West Virginia.
Wow. Up from the south, I think.
Yeah,
we don't know our geography very well.
Well, it's in the middle. So
we're from Canada, so all the states sort of just live there.
That's okay. Canada looks like that to us, too. It's just a big mishmash of stuff. Right?
It pretty much is.
Yeah, right.
What are tell me about Wensleydale's.
Wensleydale is a very, very nice fiber sheep. It comes from England, from a little town called Wensleydale, which is north of Yorkshire. Yorkshire's north of London, so it's up in what they call the Dales region of England. And the Dales region is surrounded by mountains on the north and over on the western side. And
up near Leeds, right?
That's right.
Where I was in the Yorkshire.
Right.
Everyone said, I'm a Yorkshire girl. And I'm like, yes,
yeah, that's right. Yeah. Did you go to Leeds yourself?
I did. We have relatives there, so I visited them and they drove me around Yorkshire country.
Well, it sounds like you picked up a little of the accent, too.
A little.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. We started raising these sheep about 10 or 11 years ago, and we could not bring any of the sheep into the country themselves. We could not import sheep into the United States. The Department of Agriculture prohibits us from doing that. So what we did is we imported frozen semen from Wensleydale rams, and we started working with Cotswold ewes, which are similar but not quite as nice, and we've been doing what's called an upbreeding program. And as the years go by, we continuously use Wensleydale semen, which we call 100%. And every year we increase the percentage of Wensleydale in the Cotswold. First generation is 50, and then 75, and then 82, and 87, and so on and so forth.
Wow. So the poor ewes don't even get dinner in a movie. They just get the frozen semen, and that's it.
That's it. Right. But it's a full life for them. You know?
That's true.
What are the benefits of Wensleydale fiber?
The Wensleydale fiber is very, very pearly. It has a nice luster to it.
So that's shine, right?
Shine, yes. It shines, and in the sunlight, it really has a nice shiny appearance to it. Instead of being chalky, like most wool. Most wool has kind of a chalky appearance, looks a little flat. So this is shiny, and it has no guard hair. Guard hair is what we have on our heads, okay? Mm-hmm. But in wool, if you have guard hair, it gets itchy. So they don't have any guard hair, so that makes it very smooth and soft and it feels good on you. And it's a long wool, has this natural curl to it, so we can use it either for making stuff like sweaters or I don't know, wraps or whatever, or it's used for things like Santa Claus beards.
Oh, really?
Or doll hair.
Wow.
The black. If you find a really good doll, there's a good chance that that's going to be a Wensleydale wool hair.
I know that.
Yeah, in there, or on a Santa Claus beard.
What's the staple length?
The staple length can go up to about 11 inches a year. So it's about twice as long as most wools that you get off of sheep. We shear once a year, so our staple length is usually about 11 inches. If we let them go for a couple of years, then it'll hang all the way down to the ground. It'll be, you know, 20 inches long. And so they look really pretty at that time with this long draping fleece hanging down. But it's really not very practical at that point.
And I imagine that there's damage. There's weather damage or sun damage to the
over. In fact, you can see the black one over here. The tips tend to bleach out. So the tips of her, or even here you can see it, all right? And the tips, the tips are
a
different color.
We're looking at a gray fleece, and
gray
the tips are kind of a blonde.
Right, right, blonde. Now, when you take that fleece and process it, then those two colors will blend together, and it'll just look like a little bit lighter gray.
And those tips aren't damaged enough? They don't break off when it's carded?
No.
Okay.
No, there's no mechanical breakage. There are no mechanical damage.
Just sun damage.
It's just the color, right,
okay.
From the sun.
And you've produced some wools from it, right?
We've produced wool. We produce roving, which is the first step. You take a fleece and wash it and get all the stuff off of it, and then you card it, which means combing it, and then you put that into a long bat, which is called roving, and that might be about an inch and a half or 2 inches in diameter, and very soft and fluffy, sort of like a ponytail, right? Somebody's ponytail. You roll that up in a ball, and then some people take that and spin that, or it goes into a spinning machine, and out comes a thread or a fiber, which may be wound a couple of them together to give a 2-ply or a 3-ply yarn.
And then it gets knit or crocheted?
Knit or crocheted or woven up into something, right.
Wonderful. You were explaining something about how you can smell whether it's a ram or a ewe.
I was really impressed. You were impressed by that.
I was very impressed. You made me smell it, but... So that is a ram, right?
This is a ram, right. This one?
Yeah. Oh, maybe they were.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, they were the other way around before, right? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
A ram smells different than a ewe. Now, both of them in the raw fleas have a fairly pungent odor, but the ram, the male, smells a little more pungent. And so, even after you wash it, if you're used to smelling them, you can smell the fiber, and you can usually tell that it comes either from a ram or a ewe. Now, after you wash it 5 or 6 times, then that will slowly go away. So as time goes by, it disappears.
So if I had a sweater, you'd know.
I'd know in a second, right?
How long does the odor stick around?
You mean in terms of on the material?
On the material.
Oh, it'll stay there practically forever. If you've got a bag and you haven't washed it, anytime you open that bag, you can get that aroma. Now, a lot of people think it smells kind of bad, but if you get used to it, it's like any aroma. I mean, take patchouli oil or something like that. And probably the first time you smelled it, it smelled a little strange. But with time, you get used to it.
I'm just impressed you can tell the female from male.
No, yeah, okay.
I can barely walk around. Well, I walk around here and I can barely tell some of the people. And
yeah.
I'm not smelling them. I'm just
I don't claim to be able to tell the difference on the people either.
As long as we're not sniffing the people.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, it's considered bad form to go up and sniff somebody in our society, right?
Yeah.
If they notice.
If they notice.
Oh, is there a difference in terms of the quality of the fiber, which one to work with between a ram and a ewe?
Well, we like the ram's fiber better because for a ram, all of his protein is going into the production of fiber, whereas with a ewe, she's going through birthing cycles and that sort of thing. And so there's an inconsistency in the ewe's fiber. During the time that she's birthing or during the time that she's pregnant, that fiber might be a little weaker.
Very interesting. So if someone is interested in buying a fleece and they know in general, or is it only the Wensleydales, that it's better to go with the ram's fleece?
No, it'd be the same with any of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Any one of them.
Interesting to know.
So at the best, actually, the best fleece usually comes off of what's called a wether. That's a castrated male. And the castrated male then is more docile, he's easier to cope with, and so on and so forth. And he's obviously not producing any babies, so he is probably the best fiber that you can get. And if you look at the flocks of producing sheep in, like, New Zealand or Australia, you'll find most of them are wethers. They will castrate most of the males early in life. They will save out a few that they think are going to be good for breeding. But most of them are castrated, and so most of the big flocks of wool-bearing sheep are wethers.
Now, the important question with this is, does it change the odor?
Does it change the odor? You know, I think so, a little bit.
One of these is a wether, and one's from a ewe.
Right. The wethers do smell more like rams, but not quite as strong.
And are they hard to castrate?
It's something males don't like to talk about too much. You know, it's a sensitive topic for us.
Sensitive.
Yes,
but if it makes you produce better wool,
that's right. Well, then let's get on with it, right?
Clearly.
We put a rubber band around the testicle, and after about, a week and a half or 2 weeks, that'll fall off.
That's easy to castrate someone.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and it's a very tight little rubber band. It's a donut that's about as big around as your little finger.
And it just falls off.
Right.
Did you collect them like eggs later?
No, we don't even...
let them fall where they will?
We usually don't find them.
Fingers crossed you don't find them.
Their tails are the same way. We band their tails the same way.
And is it painful to them?
No. It cuts off the blood circulation down to the tail, and they don't feel anything down there.
How long would their tails be otherwise?
These guys down to the ground. Well, here, take a quick look right there.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And if there'll be another one coming up here, another picture, and you'll see.
So
see, we dock them so that they're that short.
30 centimeters long?
Yeah, it's
on
almost.
The baby?
Yeah.
Inches. The baby.
Yeah.
12 oh, inches?
Right.
12, 15
here's,
inches.
Here's where the band is right there. You can kind of see a difference in the. Here.
Yeah.
Okay. You can usually see it on a tail that's ready to fall off. It gets smaller and it looks kind of crooked and withered. Now, there's a bone in there, so if we find those in the field and pick them up in the field, the tailbone is still in there, but it's dried out. The whole thing is dried out at that point.
This was so nice talking to you.
It was
Thank
so interesting.
Nice talking to you,
too. You're the most amusing person we've talked to
yet.
Is
that right?
Most people say, I love the wool. It's been so much fun. No, this is good.
I'm the most amusing person at the fair.
Yes, you are.
There you go. That's not what you expected.
I want to butt come back again anytime. You guys are fun.
Deborah, you said you would not go flea shopping, but we're looking at alpacas, and now you seem to be flea shopping. What went wrong? I don't know if I should encourage you or discourage you or ignore you or bite you. I just don't know. She looks like she's weakening. I just want to kiss a cute little alpaca nose. Come on, little alpacas. Bring your nose over here. See, some people are shoppers and some people are lovers.
Excited to be here with Cooperative Press, and I'm standing with 5 authors.
And you can count.
And I can count and sometimes read. So I'm going to just go around in the circle. If you could introduce yourselves, that would be wonderful. Who are you, sir?
I'm Alistair Post Quinn, author of Extreme Double Knitting.
Shannon Oki, I am the publisher and the author of the Knit Girl Guide to Professional Knitwear Design.
Woo. I'm Anna Dalvi, and I'm the author of Shaping Trolls.
I'm Heather Ordover. I'm the host of Craftlit and the editrix of What Would Madame Defarge Knit.
I'm Stephanie Talent, and I'm the author of the upcoming book, California Revival Knits.
It's such a pleasure to meet you all. What are you doing here at Rhinebeck?
Selling things. Sorry, I'm required by law to say that.
So what are you selling? You're promoting books? Are you, what's happening?
We're selling books. We've got all of our books out. We are doing previews of the upcoming books, like Stephanie's book and like Kate Atherley's book, Beyond Knit and Pearl, which is one of our other next upcoming books.
Kate Atherley is a relative of ours.
Well, there you go. Now you're legally obligated to mention her book. We are also selling project bags that come with Bijou Basin Yak yarn in them and an entry to win an iPad, because we think everybody should read books on their iPad. It is a delightful way to read a digital book, particularly knitting books, because you can zoom in on charts.
If you're following charts on your iPad, how would you recommend that people keep track of what line they're on? I always do it with a highlighter.
Goodreader. I do Goodreader. I draw a little box, and I move the box as I move through my lines. And I do a lot of Intarsia, a lot of Strand and Knitting, a lot of things where you have to see where you are on the chart. It works.
Can you highlight text?
I think you can.
I think you can too.
I'm not that good in Goodreader, but you have the chart as an image. So you draw your little box, and you tap on your box, and then it'll come up, and you say move, and you can just shift it along as you go.
There's also a new program called Knit Companion for the iPad, which allows you to import PDFs and resize the charts so that you can have a row counter that is visible as you go along.
That's very helpful. Can I go to each of you and you tell me a little bit about your books?
Sure. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Alistair again. I'm the only guy in the group, so you'll know my voice. So Extreme Double Knitting is basically a technique manual for double knitting, which is a technique for knitting something with no wrong face, no wrong side. But this takes the double knitting technique beyond the standard color method and goes into 3 colors, 4 colors, 2 patterns at once, and more bizarre things than that.
And is it a very experienced knitter who would be looking to buy
your book? As a matter of fact, it starts you off at the very basics and then advances you as far as you feel comfortable going. It really is a great thing for somebody who's never double knit before, but it isn't great for somebody who has never knit before. You want to know how to knit before you start with this.
What do you normally use? Are they circular needles, double pointed? What tools should people have?
There's a fair amount of stuff in here that's done on circular needles. I do a lot of hats. They're all relatively small projects because I want people to learn the techniques and not be bogged down in some gigantic thing. I recommend circular needles because they're easy not to lose.
That's a good point. And if you could highlight one pattern in your book as something, the thing you're most excited about?
Well, okay, I guess the last pattern in the book is a 4-color shoulder bag with the double knit pattern only on one side. The other side is completely blank, and it's seamless. It has a buckle, it's got an adjustable strap, and it's just a whole lot of fun to do.
Is there a picture of it? Can I see?
Yeah, sure. You can look at the
actual pattern. Oh, there it is. And it's a swirl pattern, right?
Yep.
And interlocking swirls, basically.
Yep. I call it World Tree.
Very good, very good. And again, just to repeat, the book we're talking about is, oh, it's really cute, Extreme Double Knitting, New Adventures in Reversible Color Work. All right. Ms. Oki.
Ms. Jackson, if you're nasty. I wrote the book on professional knitwear design, but I should also mention that I am the editrix. We are editrices together, if we want to be fancy, of the Fresh Design series, which is an upcoming 10-book series of patterns by upcoming designers. Each one has 10 patterns in it, and so we have a mittens book and a hats book and a stuff for men book and Sweaters book. So I'm currently in the process of editing that right now. This book came out last year, so we should talk about fresh designs.
Okay, all right. So you don't want to go in more detail into this one?
Well, this one, the Nicaragua Professional Knitwear Design, is if you would like to actually do the business of knitwear design, not learn how to knit, not learn how to pat. If you want to work as a designer, this is the book for you.
Hi, I'm Anna Dalvi, and my book is Shaping Shawls, and the book has 10 lace shawl patterns, but it also explains the construction of lace shawls. It goes through the straight rectangular shawls into various types of triangular shawls knit from different directions and into square shawls and shawls with knit on edging. So anyone who wants to design their own lace shawls, the book is a great resource for that.
Okay, do you have something in particular you'd be interested in highlighting in the
book? Oh, I'm not sure. Perhaps I should start with the very last pattern again, following Alistair's lead here, and say that that's Mystic Air, and it's a square shawl that uses a combination of techniques. And so it's knit as a straight square first, and then you pick up all the stitches around and you knit in a circle outwards, and then you cast on for a knit on edging and knit all the way around. And that shawl is hanging right behind me, and it takes about 2,400 meters of lace weight, so I wouldn't start with that one, but it's a really fun shawl, and it shows how all these techniques can be put together to create new shapes. The square is just in the center, and then when you start knitting outwards in a circle, it does a little triangle in the corners, and then it goes straight out again. And so the shape, I guess, it's really not a true square at the end. It's got a bit of a rounded, corner.
Very
like
pretty.
A small octagon, maybe.
Okay, so again, the book is Shaping Shawls by Anna Dalvi. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Heather Ordover. I'm the host of Craftlit and the editrix of Madame Defarge, What Would Madame Defarge Knit? 21 Patterns and Essays Inspired by Classic Literature.
Wonderful.
The book actually started as a joke on the podcast in 2007 when we were doing the book Tale of Two Cities, and one of the podcast episodes is called What Would Madame Defarge Knit? And we thought it was kind of funny because if you write that out, it looks vaguely obscene, WWMDFK. And it occurred to me after a while that that was also a good name for a book. So I started collecting designers who I'd met and who I liked and who I knew could write really well. So we have each pattern is accompanied by an essay that explains the design process a little bit and what inspired the designer to make this particular thing. So we have the white wool, which is a Moby Dick scarf. We have the Frankenhood, which is actually a hood that looks like Frankenstein's head.
Oh, cute.
But it has instructions to make e-textile LED lights light up in the neck bolts.
Very neat.
Optional, totally optional. Some amazing shawls, a gorgeous Jekyll and Hyde sweater that lets you have a sailor collar in the back or button it up as a hood along the top. And the book really takes advantage of the internet. The ebook version that comes with the softcover version has live links to everything. So if we talk about a certain design technique, it's linked to. If we talk about a recipe, it's linked to. If we talk about a certain dyer, they're linked to.
Wonderful.
So you can track all of the information that we've compiled in the book.
That's great. And who are some of the contributors?
Some of the contributors that people might know, Sign Mitchell from Weavecast, Brenda Dane from Cast On. One of the other things that we did that people have talked about with the book is that the book doesn't have any color pictures in it. The color pictures are online. And we did that for two reasons. One, so we could pay the designers, because they make royalties. So every time a book is sold, the designers on this book make money.
Okay.
And the other reason is we were able to print the book in the United States instead of sending it overseas.
Hi, I'm Andy Smith. I work under KnitBrit. I have a book coming out late winter called Bigfoot Knits. Basically, it's a tutorial and then patterns on how to make socks fit whatever shape or size you are. You know, rather than your basic tube, we take your tube, we take your measurements, and we make it work for you, whether you have, like, huge wide hammer toes, whether you have high insteps, you know. We embrace the cankles, basically. And then we go from the basic, we go from a basic sock, and then I show you how to use pattern and how to make those shapings work within your patterns as well. And that will be out before Christmas.
And what was the name again?
Bigfoot Knits.
Bigfoot Knits. So, cankle owner's delight, Bigfoot Knit is on its way.
The nice thing about the book is in the photography. I don't know how, through the magic of the internet and Shannon Oakey, we got Fluvog to give us shoes for the photo shoot. So we have like some serious shoe porn in the socks. They're just beautiful.
Yay. So. Looking forward to the shoe porn along with the cankle porn.
Thank you.
So again, I'm Stephanie, and my book is going to be coming out later this winter. It's California Revival Knits, and basically it's a pattern book of patterns inspired by the California Revival style of the 1920s and 1930s.
Can you give me a little more info on that?
I would say if you think like Hearst Castle or something like that, or think Catalina Island or something like that, or Malibu Potteries. So all those gorgeous, you know, tile works, you know, the kind of a little bit of a Moorish influence in there as well. Think like little like California bungalows or that style, anything from there to something as magnificent as Hearst Castle, something along those lines. So tiles, wrought iron, those sort of things interpreted in knitting patterns, and a lot of different accessories, a lot of fingerless mitts, mittens, couple sock patterns, everything from color work, stranding, Fair Isle, intarsia, duplicate stitching, and then of course I love cables and traveling stitches, so, and beading. So a lot of different patterns, a lot of eye candy. My wonderful photographer, Kathy Cadigan, she just did an incredible job with getting all the items photographed, and it's just going to be gorgeous. So
and
I'm excited.
It's not out yet.
It's not out yet. It's going to be later this winter.
Okay. And remind everyone what will it be called?
It's going to be called California Revival Knits.
All right. And any particular item you'd like to talk about? It any one thing that stands out in your head as being fresh and exciting and.
I think that one of the biggest eye catchers is I have these fingerless like gauntlets that are inspired by some of the peacock fountains.
I'll get them.
And it's intarsia, but it's not hard. I just want to reassure everybody.
It's not hard. Look at that.
They're dainty. They're beautiful. They're one of those things that if you make them as a gift for somebody, they're gonna have their socks blown off.
Can you describe it?
It's made out of, right now we have them done in Shetland wool, and it has like a peacock sitting on a branch and different flowers. There's some beading along the eye spots of the peacock's tail and the center of the flowers. They totally button up the side. It's a functional button. So we're talking 12 little pearlized buttons.
I agree completely. They're wonderfully feminine.
So pretty.
And
look how they go out here.
Yes, and they're comfortable. I mean, they're definitely wearable. So.
Well, great. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
And now I'll be knitting these for my sister.
Oh, fantastic. Yes, she's already asked for them, so.
Clearly, yeah. All right, thank you so much, and best of luck.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. We are now on to Monday. The Sheep and Wool Festival ended yesterday.
Don't say those words.
What? Sheep and wool?
No.
Ended?
Yes!
Oh, it was a great time. We had a great time. I don't even know why we enjoy it so much. Partly for me, it's being in a beautiful country atmosphere and beautiful location. Why do you like it so much, sis? And I love being around the knitters.
Do I have to sing my song again?
Monday, Monday?
No, the one about the maple cotton candy.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I forget it, but it was a good song.
It was a good song. So, you've probably already heard a lot of our adventures, a lot of our experiences. What we didn't do while we were there is record about the items that we spotted that we needed to share about.
That's true. We also didn't tell people what we were doing up to now. We got back last night, and we were a bit walked out. I forget what we did. We found a Panera Bread. Yay!
Yes, we went to Panera, and we got dinner.
Yes, we did, and we ate it back at the hotel. There were a lot less knitters there, and then we woke up this morning and...
Packed,
and had a little talk with the manager.
Yes, we had a little talk with the manager of the Holiday Inn. We were rather unhappy with the bathing suit situation, which I believe we already spoke about.
I think we did, but to recap, my bathing suit was ruined because their...
Chlorine levels in the hot tub were much too high, and it basically... Well, Melanie's bathing suit lost almost all color.
Yes, and it was new. It was not the 97-cent one. I had two bathing suits, and I thought I would splurge and wear the good one, which was a big mistake.
Yeah, and we spoke that evening about what had occurred, and then we didn't hear anything back. And then this morning we went and we spoke to the receptionist, and she was quite abrupt and rude. And I was just being polite, but explaining my concerns, and then the manager offered us $25 as compensation, and I said, look, it costs more than that to buy a bathing suit. And then he said, fine, $50, or I'm just sending to insurance and they won't give you anything.
And we said, wait a minute, you have a policy, and the policy is to, quote, we'll make it okay or you don't pay. And we just wanted him to either make it okay or to... That's their policy.
Yeah. So what I was hoping for is around $70 or $75 so that we could replace the bathing suits. That's how much a woman's bathing suit costs.
And he got all up in her business about the fact that it wouldn't have happened because of chlorine. And what does she know?
Yeah, he was not polite from the very beginning. But I don't want to dwell.
No, but we do want to say if you're picking your Rhinebeck hotel next year, maybe you shouldn't pick this one is why. Yeah. I brought it up. We are not. We're going to stay at a different hotel next year.
I agree. The Holodome, at the Holiday Inn, the internet was down for half of our stay.
The hotel was really old and shabby and cost the same as ones that were not.
Yeah. So we're going to be booking early for next year, and we're going to be looking to stay somewhere else.
So yeah, so that was that. And then on to today, we did some errands.
Yeah, we woke up, we packed up, we loaded into the car, we checked out, and then we ran a few errands. I stopped at Target and bought quite a neat little duffel bag to help. It's orange. Because I have a lot to bring back, and Melanie has a lot of stuff, and I thought I maybe would help her by carrying some of her things.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was hoping, silently.
Yeah, I have some things to bring back, including things that Melanie will be sending with me for me to bring for her in Ecuador. And then we went for brunch again at Panera Bread.
And we hit the road. Smack!
And then we hit the road. And that pretty much brings us till now.
And we are driving back to get the car to New Jersey. Yay, New Jersey.
To return the car, and then we've booked a hotel. What hotel are we staying in, sis?
I think it's a Quality Inn. It's in Queens. It's near LaGuardia somewhat, because Deborah is flying out at noon tomorrow, getting rid of the sister tomorrow.
That's right.
Sad.
And I am flying out midday tomorrow. Melanie is flying out midday the next day. Or I should start this again when we're not on this road.
That's okay. And we're meeting to party in...
And then we're meeting in like 3 or 4 days from now. We're meeting in Quito. And then the adventures begin.
Yay, whoa. Hopefully we will be done this podcast and it'll be up by then because we're going to have all sorts of new adventures.
There will be lots to talk about. Word of warning, the upcoming podcasts are going to be more related to travel than they will about knitting. Although, as usual, there will be knitting content.
The scavenger hunt.
Oh, yes. Okay, so we had a short list of items on our scavenger hunt.
Short but good.
Short but good. And most of the items that we ended up focusing on were items that of a slightly negative quality. So my apologies in advance for the fun that we are going to be poking.
And we are going to post pictures of these as much as we can without identifying people in them.
We don't want to insult anyone by posting pictures and making fun of them online, but some of these pictures are definitely worth being posted.
So what are the categories?
So one of our categories was most expensive skein of yarn.
Wow.
And what did we find?
Well, we didn't find it. One of our listeners, Narfaz, or her mom might have found it.
And it was a 25, perhaps 50 gram skein of yarn.
It was 25.
It might have been 25. Made of guanaco. It was hand spun, I believe 2-ply. And it costs... over $325.
Whoa!
American dollars. That was a very expensive skein of yarn. I think that one won for most expensive skein of yarn. For Booth Not to Miss, what was our decision this year?
I know what my decision was. I don't know. Well, what was your decision?
I'm between the two that I bought the most at. But I think...
You know which one mine is.
I think I'm going to go with you and vote for Times Remembered Alpaca.
I love them. They're fun.
They're lovely. It's a couple. They're a little bit older. They're of good spirits. And they bring beautiful skeins of... probably sport weight alpaca. They are 8-ounce skeins. They sell for $25. And they have beautiful natural colors as well as beautiful dyed colors. And we ended up buying 6 skeins of yarn there.
And those two little ones I got, the colorful ones.
Included. And in fact, they don't have a website, but we were talking to them about the possibility of them getting a website and us facilitating that.
In exchange for yarn.
Maybe in exchange for yarn. So... I also will recommend The Fold, which is a booth that sells socks that rock. And I am a big, big fan of socks that rock, mostly because I've been knitting with it. I've knit 2 projects already, and I adore it. Not great yarn for shawl knitting. because it doesn't hold the blocking really well. It's really bouncy, but it's not crisp. It's better for, let's say, cowls, hats, mittens, a plain shawl, but I would say not for lace. But I love it. So while I was there, we attacked the mill ends section. It sold out within a couple of hours, but it's basically skeins that they know have a knot or a slight discoloration in them, and they sell them for about $5 to $7 less than they would regularly go for. And I think that's a knot to miss also. Sanguine Griffin was there. We looked through the booth. I've never knit with her yarns. The colors are beautiful, but the line was just too long, and there's just too much hype around it to excite me. So we skipped purchasing anything there.
Okay, so those are the booths. What is the next category?
Can I just say that there one more booth that I really liked was, and I don't remember what they're called, but they were the booth selling the Border Leicester yarns. The Border Leicester is the kind of sheep, and it's long wool, and it has this beautiful sheen to it. It almost has the sheen that you would expect in a silk. And Narfaz and her mother both bought yarn there to make gloves, and I just want to make a shout out to people who produce yarns from something other than just merino and really exploit the qualities of that particular breed of sheep that they're doing. And this one, it was beautiful, shiny, and the colors really shone through. So just wanted to mention that, although I don't know the name of the booth.
Okay.
So next, let's go with most ridiculous knitted garment.
Uh-oh. All right, let me think for a second. Okay, I know which one I think. What do you think? I didn't get a picture of the one I think was, though.
Okay, for me, it was, there was a woman, and I'm sure these took a lot of work, and it appeared to be made out of hand-spun yarn, though I can't confirm, and she was wearing leg warmers that went all the way from her ankles all the way up to, I would say, 3/4 of the way up her thighs, like, basically to the top. And she was wearing them over a pair of jeans. And I think that might have been a little ridiculous.
I agree.
I mean, it's quite impressive. And I think had she been wearing them...
as tights?
Over a pair of tights, they would have been quite cool.
Or just as tights, or slightly, or a foot less, if they were foot shorter, or if they had feet on them.
Yeah, if they were socks that height. It was the wearing them over jeans, I think, that I found a little ridiculous. Because they were so high.
Right.
All right, your turn.
That blue hat that woman was wearing that wasn't finished.
Oh, there was a woman walking around with a hat that still had circular needles and it was unfinished.
It had circular needles in it. It also had stitch markers in it hanging down in the back. And I just don't understand, A, why you didn't finish your hat, or B, why you wore it. Maybe it was so special you had to... I mean, there could be some tragic someone knit it for you and died on the way to Rhinebeck. Beautiful sentiment. Don't wear the hat.
Yeah.
Don't wear the hat.
And if the needles were meant as... I hope none of these people listen to our show. But, yeah, I was a little unsure about that.
A little?
I think we need
to have some strong opinions. What about... Yeah. Well, let's do something positive. Favorite knitted garment, or most surprising favorite knitted garment.
Okay.
Mine's easy.
Okay, go for it.
The fish hat. I know people think... I know there's a lot of negativity around the fish hat, and while I totally get it, there was one fish hat I saw, and it rocked Rhinebeck.
Okay, so going back, there's a Knitty.com pattern for, I think it's called Fish Hat Dead or Alive, and I made one for Melanie. It was one of the first things I knit. I knit out of acrylic. That was before I knew.
And I love it. I do love it.
And one of our listeners actually, and I don't remember his name. I'm really sorry, I don't remember.
We love you.
But he had a fish hat, and it looked kind of rustic and woolly, and the colors were great, and I understand that he knitted out of yarn that Stephen West gave him.
But he rocked that hat.
He wore that hat. He was tall and confident, and he was a good-looking guy, and by the way, he kissed me on the lips.
Is that the most surprising moment?
That might have been the most surprising moment. But yes, so he kissed me, and he was wearing an awesome fish hat with yarn given to him by Stephen West. So that was exciting.
That was my most surprising favorite, because I'm not usually into the fish hat aside from mine, but he made that fish hat.
He made it happen.
Glorious. And what about you? Most surprising or favorite knitted garment?
You know, there's a group of women that I interviewed, and I'm sorry, I forget their names, but there was one of the girls who was wearing a beautiful yellow knitted cardigan.
That was gorgeous.
I think she referred to it, the color, as goldenrod. And I kept seeing her throughout the day, and every time I saw her, I said, that's a beautiful sweater. Straightforward, it's a cardigan. Straightforward, well-styled, it looked great on her. I know it's simple and, you know, I guess it's not most surprising, but it, you know, it kept catching my eye every time we passed them. So I'm going with the goldenrod sweater.
And just to include everyone.
Yes.
Worst outfit out of crochet.
All right.
And we can't say everything because we love crochet now, right?
No, it wasn't everything. Well, I think we probably have the same. There was a woman who made a floor length coat out of granny squares.
Why?
Brightly colored granny squares.
So that was the worst.
Yeah, that was not a favorite.
Okay, so next category, and Narfaz thought this up, I believe.
She gets full credit for both thinking of the category and for finding it. Person whose hair looks most like roving.
And she found it.
There was a woman with very puffy red hair, worn kind of in a half, like worn...
ponytail?
Half ponytail, or a half worn in a barrette, held back. And it looked a lot like roving.
Tell me you didn't want to just pluck some off and just test the staple length.
Well, you know, it was tempting.
So that was that, and we have a picture of that.
We did get a picture of that one.
What about one of our glorious categories, which was...
Leggings are not pants.
Leggings are not pants. You knew exactly what I meant, and you found that.
Yes. We were looking for someone wearing leggings as pants, and leggings... they're not pants.
They're not pants.
Leggings go under a little tunic, under a long sweater, but in my opinion, they're not really pants.
And can I add to that in saying see-through tights are not leggings?
Let's go that far to say see-through tights, and tights are not leggings, which actually I see more often than I would like in Colombia, by the way. Leggings, yes. In fact, we should change the category to tights are not leggings and leggings are not pants.
Exactly.
So there was a woman we saw... who was wearing a sweatshirt, I believe, or some kind of top.
Some kind of short top.
That ended, you know, just a few inches below the waistband of her tights. And then she wore black tights and a pair of black underwear underneath that shone through the tights.
Oh, did it ever.
Because they were tights and not leggings, and leggings are not pants.
And tights are not leggings.
So I'm going to go with that one.
There was one day in Edmonton where I wore leggings out as pants. And I will never forget that day because I felt like the fool I was.
I wore leggings as pants on the airplane on the way on this trip. Yup.
Yeah.
I really was comfortable, but man, those leggings were not pants.
They were pants.
So,
what else did we have?
We had favorite animal moment.
Leaping llamas.
Well, my favorite was during leaping llamas. There was a little... this was cute, and this girl is not an animal. But there was a little girl, she was probably 7 years old, 6 or 7, she was very small, and she was leading an alpaca. And the leaping llama competition, they basically set up a pole. And the idea was that it started almost on the ground, and then it went up, half a foot, then went up another half a foot. And all the competitors, there were their handlers and the competitors, and the handlers would jump over the bar. Basically, they'd run with their cameloid, and then the idea was to jump over the bar. So it got down to not that many. There was only 8 competitors left, and this little 6 or 7 year old was part of them. But the pole got a little high for her. And she was so cute because she ran to the pole, and the alpaca gets running. And then she stops at the pole, and so the alpaca stops, and she gingerly lifts one leg and the other, and the pole went right up to as far as her legs go. And then she gingerly stepped over the other, and it was not painful, but it was so cute watching her trying to get herself over the pole. Then the alpaca, when she made it to the other end, she said, okay, come on. And the alpaca just leaped right over.
That was so cute.
It was so cute. That was my favorite animal moment.
I guess that was my favorite animal moment too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One last one. Favorite Rhinebeck moment, period.
Period. Ooh. You go first.
I think it might have been meeting one of our listeners in the toilet.
That was cute. You tell that story.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah, it's true. So we were going. Not like
we were about to go.
We were going to the toilet.
We were on our way to go. We were in the toilet, and suddenly someone recognized us. Yay!
She saw your t-shirt, and she said, oh my goodness, are you Savvy Girl Melanie? And Melanie said yes, and she said, I love your show. I listen to your show. And then we ended up chatting with her. Well, first we went to pee. And then we ended up chatting with her, and we interviewed her.
Mm-hmm. She was here with her son.
So you will have heard that interview.
But it was cool, being recognized in the bathroom. Recognized. So that was really fun. I mean, it happened a lot, actually, at Rhinebeck, but it was fun when it happened in the bathroom, because you're in, I don't know, who knew? Who knows?
Yeah, and you know what? There are so many good moments. I really like the Ravelry get-togethers, because it really is a chance to see people, and everyone is excited, and I don't know, I really like, it's a really social time. I really enjoyed the last interview I did at the, with Shannon Oki and all of those authors. I don't know, there were lots. Chatting with Stephen West was lovely. The maple syrup cotton candy was delicious.
Now, if we can only survive taking the bus through New Jersey.
That's right.
We'll be okay.
All right, sounds
big
good.
Big if. All right, well, we're in stop and go traffic, so let's go. And then stop.
And then go.
And then stop.
And then go.
It's neat and it's sweet, it's a ding-dong treat. Little socks for little feet.
Just knitting with your knitting all day long.
You know, knitting's friendly and knitting's fun.
Knitting's good for everyone, and that is why we sing this knitting song.
With knit one, purl two, what's a knitter gonna do with a gall? Darn, ball of yarn, and stitch three, drop four, pitch that knitting.
Thank you for tuning in to episode number 61 of the Savvy Girls podcast. Our podcast is now past 60, which means
free coffee at McD's.
Except that probably our podcast doesn't eat at McD's.
I would hope not.
No. If you would like to reach us, you can visit our website at www.savvygirls.ca. That's SAVVYGIRLS.ca. You can email us at podcast@savvygirls.ca. We are on Facebook, we are on Twitter, and we are on Ravelry, of course.
And we are on the couch in Ecuador.
We are. We're recording this conclusion in Ecuador because
we're in Ecuador!
Our next episodes will be all about our experiences here in Ecuador. And we are looking forward to sharing it with you, and we're looking forward to having those experiences since we only arrived here yesterday. Thank you to everyone. It was a pleasure to meet you in Rhinebeck, and for those who weren't there, we hope to meet you in the future, or at the very least, thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you so much for your continued support. Until next time.
Tend to your knitting, guinea pig.
Kitten.
We're in Ecuador.
I understand. I got it.
Okay.
My cardigan would look silly without long green stripes.
Well, don't shout.
I'll shout if I want to. And do you know why?
Why?
Because I hate knitting.
Thank you so much, Stephen.
I don't think I screwed it up too much.
Okay. If it's not, I'll write to you and let you know.
Okay, thanks.